This is CliffCentral.com.
There's no traffic. There's no excuse for Eric being late. Hey, so we put you on. Say something, Ryan.
Something, Ryan.
Wait, are you saying more stuff?
Hey, what's up? Oh, that's very loud.
There we go. What, 2, 3, 4. Sorry, I have to learn how these things work.
Every single...
Jonathan, say John,
you have to learn.
Say something. No, there you go. Try nothing.
But.
Oh, there we go. Professional podcasters, us.
John, and I exaggerate not. Every single week, Dave needs to relearn the desk. It's like...
I mean, you know what? It's not something consistent, because what happens is you sit there all the time, right?
It's consistent.
And then he sits here.
Consistent.
So what I do is sometimes I start from there, which is mic 4, 3, 2, and 1. But that's just numbers. Just numbers.
It looks like you know what you're doing, Dave.
That's because I'm standing. And also, no one's here. So I'm totally drinking coffee in the studio.
I'll put mine down. Try and stop me, bitches.
And I don't mean that in a Women's Day sense. I just mean them.
Oh, yeah. Dave, woo! This is not the month to use the B word.
Is it?
No. Next month, drop it. Drop it like it's hot.
So September is the month. Yeah. And so Ryan, let's start off with your report back of Giovanni's last night.
Okay, so as you guys know, Giovanni's restaurant, Main Road, it's run by the worst guys who do a podcast here. And I'm grateful for the stage time. I want to say that just up front, but it is notoriously poorly attended.
So how many audience?
Well, let's break it down. I think there was 4 audience members.
No, how many audience members? No, how many comedians?
including comedians, we were up to about 9. And then, we're not done
there's
yet.
There's always someone who leaves.
Staff members. Ah, so we got double figures waiters. With staff members.
And family.
Double figures.
No, you know what I can't happens get my family to come.
Once a guy has done his set, you think, okay, there's 10 people in the audience. But they are his friends. And you know that they go like, up yours, buddy. Fuck you. Once their friend's done his 5 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever
they
it is.
They just leave.
They leave. But not in a nice way at halftime or during when the guy, they leave while you're on.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't come to see you. Come to see our friend.
They split it up into 2 halves, which is a mistake because during the break, people don't feel bad to leave.
Yeah,
and
they will
that's
leave.
What happened. The 2 ladies that were half the actual audience left midway. So
you know
fortunately, I was first half, so I played to a full complement of 4 people.
Yeah. Okay, but you're still doing it and you love the stage time. So as a young comic, I like to hear what you're saying because that means you still have that enthusiasm that I just lost. The fact is that that critic wasn't there at your one.
Oh, yes.
The one girl who hates comedy.
You. Oh, yeah.
She didn't burn. She just burned comedy in general. Thing. Like, we're all just talking about dicks and asses.
So who listens to her? Why is she a critic?
No, that's the thing. I don't think comedy should have a critic. You should laugh. No. I didn't laugh. I did laugh because tomorrow it'll be different.
Yeah.
There's not an umbrella of comedy. What is South African comedy? Like, I'll go overseas and I go, tell me about South African comedy. I'm like, well, at Giovanni's we do this. At The Box we do that. At Goliath we do this. There's never going to be an umbrella or a consciousness of South African comedy.
No.
I talk about...
But why should it be? I don't know much about comedy, but I watch the big stuff. Obviously that's broadcast.
Michael McIntyre,
all that big stuff. You know, you've got guys that are seating 25,000 people.
Yeah, it's insane.
Insane. And but what I have to say, getting back to your point, Dave, is that does it have to be South African? Do you have to have a South African ring to your comedy?
I think what's happening is the consciousness of the world is going looking for new markets.
Yeah.
So when Netflix asks for African people of Africanness to come and do African comedy, you're going to go, okay, well, good luck, because they're not, they're doing international comedy. Luisa Madinga's set isn't an African set. He talks about being in the traffic, talks about going to the bank, talks about stuff.
Yes.
So there is this need for a essence. Does it come through underneath? Mm. Luisa Gawler's set is a consciousness set, some of it, based on, because a lot of, maybe does that set about colonialism and what, and how it's affected things. But it's still funnier because he relates it to international things. He doesn't just say, this is what happens in Africa. When you go over there, a lot of people don't. You go to Edinburgh Festival, they don't know the little intricacies of Africa. You'll say something, they immediately think, oh, you're being racist or you're being sexist. Yeah. And you go, no, there's stuff that's still happening here on a much broader level. They don't know what Lobola is.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the guys kill here, and it's a lot of interplay between, Indian, colored, white, black. Mm. And it's lost on international audiences. It's hilarious here, but no one,
And there was, Angel mentioned something about dating across the color line. She said, so, and he was a different color, whatever, went home. And the whole Canadian audience were like, what are you talking about? Different color, why? Because they,
it's not a thing.
There's another thing. It's like, no, I never ever saw my boyfriend as being a different color.
Yeah.
And then she kind of pointed it out and then realized, shit, we still got 30, 40 years of generations to fix. Yeah. And I don't mean this show. Yeah. Jonathan, what do you do for a living? I'll tell the people, but I'd rather have you do it.
I will tell you, for my sins, 20 odd years of crew whispering. I'm a first AD. And I work in the movie and television.
Explain to people like
I thought he was hanging out on a plane. He just whispers to the cabin crew. That's you need to be more specific.
Okay, so not cabin crew. What does AD mean?
It means assistant director.
Okay, assistant to the director.
Not director's assistant.
What does that mean?
Big difference.
Really? One fetches coffee.
One fetches coffee. The other does what I do. It's kind
I mean, I met you at art school, college designer.
All those
stuff.
Years ago.
Did you open agencies? Did you work for agencies?
I did a bit of agency time, Dave. And then I've met a producer friend who had a production company and got sucked into that and then started off as a runner and worked my way.
You got the job by getting sucked?
Something
that how
like
you
that.
Did it?
Exactly. Well, I did
that's
what business what needed.
Did you
to be
always
done.
Want to be in film?
Was his name Harvey?
Hey, is film something you wanted to be in when you were younger? Is that was something you aspired to be in?
I don't know. I kind of fell into it and I loved it, and it's dynamic and it's interesting and it's same every day, but different people, different ideas. So it's better than the bank, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I was in insurance.
I don't know. I've never
before.
Worked in a bank. Exactly. Perhaps maybe banking is the most coolest industry. People aren't telling you because they don't want idiots like us coming and spoiling their fun.
I think it's just cocaine and hookers in the background.
You know, it's the same as you guys.
Why do they need a safe?
What?
Why do they need a safe in the bank?
Banks.
Oh. Isn't that what we keep the coke and the hookers?
No.
But now, speaking of coke and hookers, tell us about your industry.
Tell us about last
David,
night.
I can't remember the 90s, okay? No. I don't. That goes on, I'm sure, but not as much as it was.
We do want this podcast to go to certain people.
This is a family podcast. Yes, we did.
Which one did you marry?
And then we divorced those sisters.
Did you last longer than a year?
A little bit longer, yeah.
We should have swapped halfway.
I don't know, David.
Is it?
Madness.
But I wouldn't. I just, you know, what do they call it? Secret Santa. Where you don't know what you're going to get.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was it.
Explains.
And then it popped out of the box one day, and I just thought, geez, and Ross, I've got to get out of here.
Change your name. All right, so he asked an interesting question.
Yes.
He always, do we get your ass in here? We want, when he said going into film, like we all think that we can do it. At ad school, we all think we're going to do these massive advertising campaigns.
Yeah.
Where a client's going to have 10 million rand to give us.
Yes.
Choose anywhere you want to sit, babe. Hi. This is Jonathan.
Hey.
Real shit going. I just see wherever you sit, I've got to work the mic. So you just tell me where you sit. You're either four or two. Four. Say something nice.
Something nice.
Oh, I did that one already.
Okay, what time does this podcast start?
It starts just now.
There
I'm
we
not
going
to get in Eric's accent.
Eric's late and there's no traffic. This does not make sense to me.
Because last week he was late.
Said,
oh, there was traffic. There was traffic.
There can't be. There's a Women's Day
does
sort
he have
of
kids?
Post. Just Eric
he is a kid.
Eric's 11 years old. Isn't it?
No, it's child labor. Technically.
My kids here. Jude's here. He's playing on his iPad. Basically, we just come here for the Wi-Fi and then we do a podcast.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's secondary to the free.
So
Wi-Fi.
Do you know Ryan?
She does now. Hi to me.
I do.
Ryan
hi,
Holiday
you
is a beginner comic starting out, so we have his opinion
nice.
On the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Jonathan, film and TV producer.
I know you.
Mm. I get that a lot. But I move from place to place.
Yeah, I had to tranquilize my three kids to get you. So
really? So are they in the car?
No.
They were left.
Tranquilize so I can leave.
So they don't know that you're here. So they listen. But no, yeah. But thank you. Tumi Meraki, thank you.
Yay.
I hug you.
Really?
Ryan, talk.
Okay, touch me.
Okay, Dave's hugging Tumi. Cool, we're happy you're up. We always get spoiled for guests. We have none, or
we'll have
a ton.
We'll have, at some points, it was just myself, Ryan, and Eric, and we had nothing to talk about. So we filled the hour with just breathing noises.
Yeah.
And then now, today, we've got an actual television producer who's going to tell us how to get castings, how to get into comedy.
Stuff.
Is comedy important in your industry in filming?
Not unless it's called for.
Is it?
Yeah.
So have you dealt with comedians on set and thought, why have we got this comedian? Why have we got a normal guy?
You know what? It depends. It depends what show it is. Who's, you know, if it's a commercial and they're looking for somebody funny, They'll cast for that.
Have you dealt with, do you recognize a few guys? Obviously, they can sometimes use overseas people. I've seen that.
Yeah.
So you'll...
You know what? The closest I've come to that, to be honest, Dave, is I did the Schuster movie last year, and that's coming up. It should be opening.
The Rhino Poaching one.
That's the one, yeah.
Okay, so, but he's kind of gone away from comedy with that movie.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I can operate mic number two. Watch this.
It's getting really full.
Please, this is on a holiday day.
So, late because...
I overslept. I'm sorry.
There we go. Oh,
okay, that's honest.
See, that's honest.
Should we start phoning Eric on Friday?
No.
Hey, Eric, just checking in.
I'm putting this out to people in the world. Oh, okay, let's guys, everybody do you know what to do. Michelle will get your number. I'm sending Michelle your number from the aquarium.
Yeah, that's fine. She can give me a moment.
You know, when I was doing breakfast radio, I actually did have to get those calls.
Did you get six months?
You
for about six, dude.
Who phones you? The producer.
Sleep. Oh my god!
Just best friends.
But then I do sleep. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Like
obviously
you
love
no,
what you love what you do.
Cursed you.
Really,
this
I saw that. I saw that on WhatsApp. You called me a bad word.
I did.
A man word. Like the B word for men.
I was here half an hour early, David.
Really?
You're an overachiever. Yes. That's your problem. Yes.
Did you know what it is? You were lost.
I was lost.
And then you found the place sooner than you thought you would.
Correct.
So you're just early.
I drove from Pretoria.
What he's saying is he doesn't have ways.
He's in Pretoria. Would you like a sip? Yes. There's one sugar in
there. Why did you give your child my coffee? And why are you giving your child coffee? Are you mad?
Easy now. People listen to this thing. Well. He's, you know what? He's nine. And they have a lot of energy in them.
Don't
so I'm just showing
coffee.
Him
give him fake coffee.
What coffee can do to a kid. No, he's got to learn. I'm like live experimentation.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. When I ran in, I thought there was John D sitting there. Just your son has a strong
same height. Yeah. Same height as John D. Listen, John D brings donuts with to every podcast. I don't know what the budget is for this guy. Every Friday there'll be a packet of
money,
like 20 donuts.
It's from
so Jude's had like three already.
Inappropriate.
Now he's watching me. He's had three donuts and a cup of coffee. My kid.
Yeah.
On school holiday kind of vibes.
Wait, there are donuts.
They finished. Jude had three.
Really?
Are you not allowed donuts?
So Jude had my coffee and he
your
had
donut.
My donut.
And no, three people's donuts technically.
My donut, your donut, and
sorry, man.
Whoever else's donut.
Your kids are having very different experiences this morning.
Yours are tranquilizing my... Maybe I'm going to drop my kid at your house just to wake your kids up. Come on, guys! What are their names, your guys? I have met the one and then I didn't see you for another 8 years.
A lot's happened, Dave.
No.
Many kids have happened.
The only times I'll see Toomey is like when I'm in a show and I look up and she's the... You were the judge on that...
roast. On the roast.
No, the judge on the roast. Then I looked up at before that, a year before that, there was another thing called... it was like a parliamentary thing.
Oh, yes. Point of order.
Yeah, I've forgotten the name. And you were the judge on that as well.
Yes.
So I'm figuring every time I go somewhere, you're judging me.
So long as it's not a court of law.
But now, okay, how was... Let's talk about point of order. Where did it end up going out to? What stations?
It's on Showmax, hey? And Showmax. It's still on Showmax.
Is it?
Yeah.
And then you did the first two, 1.5 seasons. And then you got really busy and had to go.
No.
And then another lady took over because I looked up the next
another
series.
Lady
another
was
lady
doing it. No. Another lady. It's the other way around.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else started it. Then she got a huge opportunity in the UK. And then she buggered off to the UK. And that took over.
As you do.
That's one
does. Buggered off.
And then it became my gig.
What is that show about?
Yeah, Point of Order. What's it about?
Yeah.
Point of Order is it's general knowledge, man. We just get funny people in and we ask general knowledge questions.
Okay.
And
they kind of had a slant towards political questions, but
very
not all
political.
Of them.
Yeah. Not all of them were political. Political though the theme is political.
So then the panel
have
show
to,
sort of QI vibes.
Oh, okay.
But a little.
But
bit
we
less.
Also have to propose laws and argue for them or against
wow.
them.
Wow.
Okay. Kind of debate so, these weird laws. Like should taxis be allowed to drive on the pavements? And then you guys will go for it and we're against
the
it.
The pavement law.
Done.
Oh. So
should,
at least
should
they
men
have,
be allowed to
what
have
was
abortions?
The outcome there, guys? Just out of interest. For or against.
That was the outcome. You must work. Point of order is nice. A lot of comedians were on it.
Because they've got people of importance inside their career, so they need to be.
Oh, you got so serious.
Careers.
Nice. But it was really cool. You know what was really cool? We did pass a law for a separate lane for slow walkers.
Huh.
Like on
the
pavement.
That makes sense, yeah.
In shopping centers.
In shopping centers.
So, you could actually get a law out of your show.
You actually could get a law out of our show.
I'm blown away.
I don't think they did, Tom.
We can.
You
radio
people.
Dave.
Is that law happening now?
It exists in TV.
You know what? I've seen it in England. I've had someone beep at me on the escalator because I'm from South Africa. Escalator is a free ride that the government gives you. You do not have to walk on an escalator. You can stand there.
You've got to stand to the left.
But keep to the left.
Yes.
So I was on the right just standing. This is before cell phones. So in my mind, I was just going through my song list in my mind and just saying just what a failure I am and how stupid life is. Jeez. Before podcasts, before anything. And then I just heard like a beeping sound. Keep left. And I'm like, ah! And then this little English human came past me.
But you said it works like real life. We pass laws that don't actually get implemented.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was that's where I met you then. So that's and then there was the roast podcast roast. You were the judge.
That was fine.
Then there was I see you on television, WTF. And no, then there was a radio gig. So the thing is, talking about your CV would take an hour. Do you get excited when someone rattles off what you've done? You used to be on used to be on Cliff Central.
My cousin says that. My cousin's like, your funeral is going to be frippin' annoying. She's like, yeah, we need one person who can represent everyone you've worked for.
Well, just the stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So are you proud of what you've done? Is it because I always wonder about these things. What's serendipitous and what was something you strived for and said, I want to be this?
I did a lot of stuff I had to do to get to do what I want to do. So there's a lot of stuff I've done that I'm not I'm proud of the fact that I got through it.
Okay.
John also did something to get into film that we were about to unpack.
I have to say, we are on so many similar levels. I've gotten to where I am, but I'm not proud of it. I swear to God.
Sucked into the industry.
Hashtag you too.
Hashtag so sad.
Well, that roast that I did, they took away some of my roasts. Because I had written him for the person, and then he arrived in drag.
Your first,
that was weird. And he was hating on the older comedians.
Yeah.
Did you find that weird?
Yeah, that he was extremely. I did not understand what his problem was. I felt like.
Older comedians suck. We must leave and we must duck and get out of the industry.
He had such a chip on his shoulder. I'm like, you're too young, too new. Don't even know this industry. You really need to calm down.
Oh, yeah.
But also said, as a crossdresser, you are the owner of the hashtag. Wow. Me never.
He's a crossdresser.
Me never. And I don't know if you want to call it a cross-dresser.
Okay, but it was just for...
It was an attempt at cross-dressing.
It was for
but
effect.
Is he or she, I don't know what...
Because you must commit.
To me, stop nonsense.
Yeah, you must commit, eh? If you're going to cross-dress, 100%. Freaking do it. Do it or don't do it.
Go big.
You can't be a dude in a dress.
I agree.
Yeah, no 50-50. For the whole hog.
Anyway,
fake eyelashes.
Leave the roast. So many opportunities will come to you. Because let's talk about Women's Day yesterday. Are you a fan? Are you a woman's libber?
What is she going to come on the podcast and say, I hate Women's Day?
If I could roll my eyes any harder on Women's Day.
Wow.
Yeah. For the history of it, I love it.
Sure.
For what it
that is for the march.
For the march.
That's what people need to remember. Yeah.
But I just feel like it's BS.
I heard an interview yesterday where a lady was asking a guy who had sponsored something. He was from a bank. And she said, and what is your bank doing for women? And he kind of said, well, we're educating everyone on banking. That is no longer interest rates and things are for men to sit in the office and go, we're going to invest. We are educating everyone on banking. She's saying, but what specifically a woman? Because women are the lowest earners in, like she was talking about domestic workers earning no money. She said, well, if they haven't got any money, we can educate them about banking and saving. We can't give someone money.
No.
I think the government can do more for women, though.
Well, they do a few things we don't really want. But aren't gardeners getting paid less than domestics? I mean, I'm looking at my nanny and my cleaner.
It would be.
They're balling.
The laws only started about 15 years ago, and there's a show on Cliff Central about that, which is a domestic worker-focused show, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they talk about things like that, the laws, leave pay.
That's really good, actually.
UIF, all those things.
So we should know more things that we should be getting that we're not getting. No, fuck it. It's depressing. I don't like it. I don't. No, seriously. Because on Women's Day, like, there are people who've invited me to pamper things. I'm like, dude, it's not Mother's Day and it's not freaking Valentine's Day. It's Women's Day. Don't fucking pamper me.
Preach!
Don't give me chocolate.
Yeah.
Let's
That's
make some
why I didn't buy anyone
happen.
Chocolates.
Yeah. Thank you. Don't do it.
As the four men sit quietly.
As the four men sit, I'm going to sit like this.
It's so bloody condescending, okay? We live in a country where femicide is at a high. It's ridiculous. Where even in the entertainment industry, women are still sleeping their way to the middle and still coming out empty-handed. So, no, bruh. Women's Day, I stick to the history of it. And I'm hoping that... It's a month where government goes, hey, we've preached some stuff. How about we try and practice some of it?
And you need real initiatives. Like you said, it's kind of, to me, it seems really sexist. Like, oh, it's Women's Day. Come get your nails done. Like that seems counter to the message.
How about it's Women's Day?
Of a whole lot of women that marched to Parliament for pass laws and for voting rights.
Let's go paint their nails. No. Yeah, I'm like, build 100 toilets. in every province. Because there are girls who are missing the school every month.
Yeah. Or get tampons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tampons to be not only tax exempt but free at certain schools and places.
Get the menstrual cups.
Yes.
For crying out loud. Oh. There's something that's practical that doesn't need to be replaced all
for,
the damn time.
For what I've had a lot of use of is the morning after pill. Get that free at least.
Okay, that's for Dave's benefit.
I was just going to say, now for the inappropriate joke, Dave.
I think we've strayed, Dave.
I'm sorry. I've also.
No, but you know what? I am.
But it's true.
I kind of get it. I'm on your side.
A man doesn't have to go through.
Yeah.
We the winning after pill. Hey?
Oh, so we talk about that on another. The sex one's coming. But now also, I'm part of a new campaign. It's called Stop Tumi Meraki from taking my coffee.
I mean, I don't care if it's Women's Day. You're not taking it back.
It's gone, man.
Women's Day in my ass. You stole my coffee the day after Women's Day.
I'll buy you this franchise.
I will do your nails. Is that how well you're doing?
Sure.
Can you just give us some advice now?
Ballless things.
And now for the next 5 minutes. How do you write your book? What book are you writing, Tumi? Huh? What book are you going to write? How I Did It. Because I see Sonia Booth's got a book there, How to Reinvent Yourself and Stay Relevant, which for me as an older white comic is a very important part of what I do for a living, is to reinvent yourself and stay relevant.
You're always relevant, though. Yeah,
you know what I do like as a comic, Ryan? When you arrive at an ensemble set, what are the things you look for that make you excited to do the gig?
The fact that I actually have a gig is what I'm excited about. I don't know. There's nothing really more to it. I'm like, yes, and you, showtime.
Lies.
What do you look for? What do you look for in a gig that makes you excited?
Ryan, I don't believe Ryan. I think Ryan always arrives there with like, there's this new gag. And he just can't wait.
And audience members. I like it when there's audience members.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You, Eric?
I love it when there's horrible comics on the lineup.
So yeah. You can look good.
Like, yeah. No, not so that I can look good, so I can have a laugh as well.
Is that why you're always excited?
Love watching people die.
Yeah. Sometimes it's fun to watch someone die. I died actually, last night.
Where were you?
There was this gig that's happening. It's a new gig.
I'm glad you acknowledged that.
Where's this place? Damn it, I can't even remember the name of the place. Phoenix Cafe in Ferndale. But the dude that hosts it also started comedy like 3 minutes ago. So this dude was shouting at the audience like, yo, shut the fuck up. Why are you guys making noise and stuff?
Because you know, you often see comedians doing that.
This is going to be
on TV shows.
Sounds like a first AD.
Yeah, I went.
Yes,
shut the fuck up.
It does. Does sound like Christy. Yeah. I'm always scared of first AD.
You know what I look for in a gig?
Die.
I look for obviously the technical stuff. I want the sound to be nice and the spotlight. But I also like looking at the lineup. And I'll be honest, when Tumi's on the lineup, I know we're going to have a lack of time.
Yeah.
Because you adapt sometimes. You go, these guys aren't digging this shit. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind in a funny way. I'm not going to do my set. Mm. You kind of hold back and go, these guys don't deserve my set. I'm going to stand here and pick my nose.
Remember that stuff we did? I actually do decide they're not.
We did it one night. We were in the south somewhere, and it was one of Mo's gigs.
Yes. It
was myself, you, Pops, and an Indian guy.
Karo Charo.
You know that Tumi came on stage laughing already from a joke that I did before I was hosting. And she came on and did like a 5 minute laugh. But she kept thinking about how dare I say that.
Because this guy was doing Indian jokes. Internet jokes. And Dave calls him on it in public.
So please, rest of his set is available on the internet.
But you know, guys, if I can ask, because I'm not a comedian, but you're all. Have the balls to stand up and have people watching you but why does South African humor, like we were talking about earlier, why must it have its little nuances? Why can't it just be over a general broad stroke funny? Why must it have little nuances?
Well, you want the comedian to come from a place. So if I'm say white privilege male, 48 years old, I've got to have my little things that I talk about that I can make interesting and have everyone see.
Woolworths.
Then Eric
Woolies.
Comes
sorry,
from
just
from
Woolies. Woolies.
I don't want him to deny his culture. I want him to just tell me something about you, Eric, and then you can do why salt and peppers at the restaurant, the big pepper. We can do those jokes. But I want Eric to give me a little piece of his essence.
You've got to give a little bit
so
of that.
So I can come in and go, I can see where Eric's coming from.
This is my ignorance.
Diversity of the country. Because
Ryan, I want to know about his box. Bigness.
I never talk about that actually. Only on this podcast because I've got a mate. I'm Benoni Boxberg, just to
forget. But you've got an actual television show. So there's what I wanted to talk about with you because you know you've done these podcasts before. You had your own one.
Yeah.
On this Cliff Central. What was it called?
Sipping Tea.
No,
it was perfect.
It's a nice time.
I
for
like
me,
fucking tea.
People wanted to listen.
Injecting tea.
putting tea into
people don't know what happens when you're sipping tea or listening, because they know the juiciest stuff comes when you're sipping tea.
So then how long was that on this one for?
That was like a year and a half, and then the only reason I left was to go to the bigger station.
Well, so you went to Jacaranda.
I went to Jacka.
How was the, how does that phone call come to you? What happened?
It was so weird. I was taken out to dinner at the Marble.
Mm. Oh shit!
And this is where the apple
Kevin Fine.
The table.
Mm-hmm. He can't afford the Marble.
Well. So I had dinner with two gentlemen, and the offer was put on the table. And
literally, said put on the like in the movies Papa? With an envelope.
Did they slide a check and say,
"That's amazing."
And then I said, "Well, I'll speak to my management. I'm interested, but let me speak to my management first." So it was a back and forth for about a month or so, and then
And then no more dinners.
And then no more dinners.
Yeah, so then when the dinners stop, you're like, guys, I want to negotiate some more.
Yeah,
and I'm hungry.
Then they just throw $50 at you. Here's your SMT.
And I want to buy what you want. You know, and I want to know.
Are you still on Jacaranda?
No.
There was a bicycle incident.
You know, every time I hear bicycle incident, accident, I literally go.
Flashbacks.
You know, we were chatting in backstage, you were having your makeup done. I was just standing backstage. But, I explained to you what I thought the joke was, and you were like, that actually would have made more sense on the day if everyone had seen it that way, other than what happens is in this country
now.
Plus,
I wasn't making a joke.
You were saying the thing. So many people will hear the thing, and they just knee-jerk straight away into, I want to have my piece about, I also want to talk about racism. You're like, no. The vibe was, don't be in a state of denial of apartheid.
Yeah.
If you are going to accept your white privilege and do something about it and say, what more can I understand about what's happening in this country? Where can I fit in? Where do I fit in? What's going on?
Yeah.
And that was your vibe.
But also, you know what? People prefer anger over pain. So when you speak to people and the pain is raw.
So the first reaction.
They would rather seek out the anger.
I'm like that on WhatsApp groups. If you'll say, hey, we're all going to go down to the scout hall. We're going to have some cake. My first reaction is, fuck all of you. I hate cake and scouts.
And
scouts
halls.
Freak me out.
And halls. I hate
and then
all
I read my
things.
Message. I'm like, that's not the right message for.
There's too much space in this room. Why is there so much space? Fuck all of you guys.
Yes,
I don't want to be here.
No, that's Giovanni's.
That's funny.
It's good. I want to have Jonathan's going to come back to the podcast at some point. We're going to talk about stuff. I want to talk about castings and what we do. Your show has a producer, it has a director, it has things. What are your writing teams like? You've got Glenn Biederman, Pam on
South
there.
South Africa, bruh. We don't have the budget we wish we had to put a proper show out.
So what's the premise of your show?
Just before I even talk about the premise of my show, people must just give this country the credit it's due, because the money people are working with. People are making cake out of cake, bruh.
So you deal with it all the time.
You know, I have to agree. I've come up from Cape Town. I'm based in Johannesburg now. And my experience is that although there's all year round work, it's not service work from overseas.
So are South African teams well respected because they can make something out of nothing?
They are. I think that's very important to recognize, is that the crew are very adaptable, super talented and willing to sort of go across border from, you know, a group will help out and do what a lighting guy will do, because you have to. There isn't enough budget.
So there's a
cross
pollination of talent.
There is a bit of that
and skills.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and Cape Town's very it's a fairyland. It's a service industry, purely for the European market, and it has been for 20 years. So there's a different mentality with crew there, where up here in Johannesburg, it's more open to working with a lower budget and making a plan to get it done.
Who's your production house on WTF?
It's Urban Brew.
We've done some stuff with Urban Brew before. Mm. Well, Trevor's show
In
was Urban
out.
Brew.
Yeah.
And then did you take... who took over the talk show when Nolene left?
Annette. But that wasn't Urban Brew. Though.
Was that not Urban Brew? Urban Brew was before.
She was shooting at Urban Brew.
Oh, I see.
Oh, wait, you're right. Urban Brew did. Yes, you're right.
Because that's a clever model. Not many people are doing this. So they have the building, the studios, and thing. You'll come in, whereas they're not necessarily your production company, but they give you all the services. Your crew's there, your cameras are there. But there's certain things that Urban Brew, sometimes the camera guy goes, I'm going to use this camera for that show now. So you guys just wait here for 4 hours and I'll be back later. And he fucks off with his camera, goes and shoots a talk show.
It's funny because I've had a fight with a crew member. Well,
yours is live.
They were like, yeah, guys, we're going to need to take one more. I'm like, no, guys, my camera, we've been using 5 cameras. Yeah. We're going to shoot with 5 cameras. We're not going to now there's 4 cameras. No. We'll make it work. No, there's a reason we've been
and
using.
And also, the way your studio moves is that it's you have that illusion of this massive space, and then it's tight and then it's intimate because of the cameras.
Yeah.
So what is the premise of WTF? Let's talk about it and what it ends up being.
Originally, we called it WTF because we were hoping to get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then they only gave us Thursday and Friday, but we kept our... Wednesday and Thursday, sorry. We got Wednesday and Thursday, we didn't get the Friday.
Kept the F.
Right? So...
So it's on when? On Wednesdays and Thursdays?
Now it's on Mondays and Tuesdays. That's when we started out. Now I'm like, okay, now it's definitely what the fuck to me. Because it was a great way to get away from going, it is what the fuck. Now it's okay, fuck it. It's what the fuck then, because
what's
you're not
going
giving
on?
Us our days of the week. So
okay, so it's on when?
It's on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Live at 9 p.m.
9:30.
Do you know how difficult, you must understand.
Yeah.
How many takes do you when it's an ad or if it's a movie, you've got the guy there for the whole day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you've got free reign. Yeah. So you just got to get it perfect. You know, and I've worked with enough directors. It's the second take.
Really?
Yeah. But you take just know. 46 will come. And the guy's got nothing left in him. Please do it again. I promise you the last one.
And live.
But live is a very different.
No
there's
yeah,
a, there's
but you
a
can also,
dynamic.
Do you ever make reference to the fact that, it's a balls up. Let's fix it because of your comedy training.
I haven't had benching. Enough balls ups. That it happened a lot in the beginning, and I think that was me finding my feet.
That's the producer in the ear.
It's live, and my just would be laughing at me. Going, you don't have to tell them. I'm like, we all know I cocked up. Let's not pretend. And then we'd move on.
And what is it? What is it on? Sorry, what was it
station?
On?
SABC3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the real station.
Like what proper, does that mean?
No, you often speak to someone and they go, "Where's your show?" Oh, it's on StarSat.
It's on StarSat.
And you're like, "Where the fuck do I find StarSat?"
Hey, man. So
I've got to go and buy the decoder. SABC3's in the sky. It comes to your TV.
Yeah. And it's also on YouTube now.
Okay.
So the premise of the show really is that I get to have a dorp with a South African celebrity.
Do you drink?
Or me? Do I drink? Do you mean in life?
I know you steal people's coffee, like famous white celebrities.
Do you know how nice this is?
It is good, eh? Damn, I wish I had some.
Who's the famous white celebrity? Oh, you.
Ryan.
My bad, sorry.
So it's having a dorp with your favorite celebrity or someone you're curious about. So a lot of the times we bring our A-listers, B-listers, then we bring someone people should know about. And so far, it's always been a hit when we bring someone
we and you know from the gigs that no one knows about.
Yeah, and then it surprises people and they go, yes, I want to know who that person is. Because the feedback I got a lot from people who aren't hugely known has been my following
Eric Janssen?
Has just blown up.
Eric Janssen? Ryan Holiday?
She's like, maybe next season.
I like how she didn't laugh as much when you mentioned my name. That made me feel good. Thank you to me.
I do music production now as well. I don't know if you know me. I do background music for corporate videos.
Welcome here at.
Are you like double auditioning?
No, I'm actually auditioning for an ad just now. I don't know if you're going to be there because that's the only time you do see other comedians. Is
yeah.
Doing things.
I'm tired of.
But your day is busy. I'm sorry that we got you in here and you're busy there. There's your people phoning you. But how is your week and your day? When is prep?
Because
guests don't arrive apparently.
Sometimes they don't come and then you have to replace them at the last minute.
Who didn't come?
You know what I find interesting is that people who are building up their careers generally will show up, and people who think they've arrived in life won't show up. which is tragic.
So why are you here?
You know? Because I like you, Dave.
I have to say, is it not just professionalism?
Yes. Right. That's it, professionalism.
You know what you do find when they've got if there's someone that phones you before that isn't them, that's maybe a publicist, then you go, okay, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
And then I've had with this show, they said, what questions are you going to ask my guests?
Yes.
And I'm trying to explain to them, there's never going to be a question.
Yeah.
We're going to either talk about circuses or knife juggling, but we're not going to talk. And there's no question. I'm not going to ask you about your career, where you see yourself in 5 years, where did you start, what's the name of your band.
I only ask that if I don't know the show. Because for me, the established people who do show up and who even make contact before,
you want to find out something else.
Take themselves seriously, like the Liras of the world, the AKAs of the world, which I know a lot of people will be surprised to hear, because I was also worried. I was like, you know, this guy's reputation precedes him. But then I found that this guy actually gives a damn about his brand.
But then he also understands the weight of your show. So if he went like, I don't understand this show, I don't really do it, then he watches it maybe and says, hang on, I could do this for my career, further my, what you just said, now exactly what he needs. He needs a little bit more public acceptance of he's not a chop.
But also you realize how many people are not in charge of their careers, where their publicists have agreed to this thing, but they didn't communicate it with their artists, and now they're doing that.
Well, we were told today that this place won't be open until 8:30, and Ryan said, what's going on? There's no one here. So I said, practical joke, it's a women's day, it's like April Fool's Day for me. Fuck you.
Like I said, I was early,
what time were you here?
8:30.
I felt so bad because normally I am here at 8:30, and I thought, well, no one's going to be here, I'm not coming here. If Johnny's not bringing a donut.
I know. Getting back to you guys have publicists, right?
Not all comedians would have.
Not all of us.
So it's like an agent.
No, it'd be a separate
thing. It's a publicist.
Separate thing.
Because what happens is the airline magazines are controlled by 6 publishing houses. So you, if you've got a show coming up, call it a one-man show in with respect to Women's Day.
Yeah,
you've got to get in those magazines.
Sure,
you don't have the time to sit there and email the stuff. So you got a little profile, but you also profile yourself and you send a little package. But then the publicist will say, "Hi, did you get it? It can Tumi be in the magazine? Have you been? You've been on the cover of Kaluma.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Been in the other one, the British Airways one, and the other one, the sort of tie in Mango. But you didn't do that. Someone's doing that for you.
Yeah, okay.
You will, Eric. You will.
One day.
How old are you? I don't say age, but how long comedy? How long comedy? How long comedy?
I've been in comedy 12 years.
See, so I want to try and sell young comics. 12 years doesn't just get you where you are.
Yeah.
There's other things. There's those gigs where you drove to Krugersdorp where there was no one there and you did your stuff. So what you're doing now, Ryan, is right. You haven't got this illusion of what you think is going to come to you.
And remember, I have a vajayjay. And I was
so do I, so
going
we got
around
that.
At night trying to do gigs. Beautiful thing you said.
We should all have one.
Yeah, no, you must hustle. But you know what? You need a PR person as well.
I built one out of my son's Lego.
But also sometimes you need to control what's going out about you.
I don't have commentary about this vajayjay thing.
And where's all my purple, Lego blocks?
Oh, no, Dave.
Oh, my boy, yeah.
Did you say purple? Yeah,
you went to that.
Please get
purple
on with the
discussion. Please, Tumi, please continue with
anatomically correct.
With your intelligence.
You know how sore it is? You know how sore it is when you stand on a Lego?
Tumi,
tell me how sore it is.
I know how sore it is when you stand on a Lego.
Right, Tumi, wait. So now the premise of the show, who didn't arrive?
Many people.
But give us the big name, the way you sort of roasted
there's
them.
There's like 6 people that listened to
this. Was it Naomi Campbell?
Oh, yeah, but that I could accept. Because, well, half could, half couldn't. So the mail we get back is she's not comfortable now that she's seen what the show's about. I'm like, how do you confirm a show if you haven't seen what happens on the show?
So she saw what was the uncomfortable. She was scared of Glenn. I would be.
This is Naomi Campbell.
That's the story I get. Yeah, that's the story I get.
The international model.
Yes. But I was okay with that.
She probably didn't even watch it.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? It's fine. Whatever. I can live with that. And she's telling us ahead of time. Cool.
Oh, okay.
Then Tiwa Savage arrives on set and leaves.
Who?
Tiwa Savage.
Is that a person?
Yes.
I thought it was a verb or a noun.
Oh, wow.
Because can I get a name like
she's,
that?
She's Dave a very was talented loving. Musician.
D was really is. Dave, D was angry.
Sounds like an energy drink.
It does.
Tiwa Savage. Get yourself some
tea. So yes,
Tiwa
Savage.
Is that maybe when you were... Sorry, Ryan's trying to do a proper interview.
Yeah,
is that like drinking tea? What was your show called?
Sipping Tea, man.
Sipping Tea was Savage. And what does that mean? She came with a bone
savage
through her nose.
Teabagging.
What does that mean? Savage so teabagging.
Okay, all right. Okay, okay.
Jonathan, a woman is like a teabag. Sorry. You never know how strong she is until she's in hot water.
Oh.
Very nice, David.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
That's,
that's very nice.
Well done,
but I don't like the teabag. I don't like comparing a woman to a teabag.
I know, because then you think teabagging
is with a woman.
Sexually.
No. It's not a sexual position. I just want to say.
No, it's not a position. It's an action, isn't it?
No, you just put your balls in the eyes and then laugh. Take a selfie.
No, that's an Egyptian goggle.
Every time I think I know what there is to know about sex, there's a young person who just reminds
just
me. Yeah.
Can you demonstrate an Egyptian goggle on Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm so glad you didn't.
If we do another podcast, I say yes.
We are doing one after this.
Oh,
we've got
I see.
10 to 11.
But not on the first one.
No, but you don't look like a balls in the face guy.
No.
To me, you know what I want from this podcast is something that you say, and then everyone, there's chaos. You know how it was on your radio show? On WTF, do you have those moments where you have to edit yourself because you know it's going out loud?
No, I actually was thinking of trying to get a tent that so I can camp at the BCCSA offices.
Are you in trouble?
I'm always waiting. And
really?
I'm really surprised.
You find as people get to know you, they're accepting of, we get it. It's you're not trying to break down the walls of any kind of thing. You're actually just being funny.
Yeah.
This BCCSA, and they're the standard of morals.
It's a bicycle company.
Commission of South Africa. Wow.
For 2 minutes, it's a bicycle company.
But you know what kills me about them, right? Is a lot of times when I was sent to BCCSA the most when I was at that radio station. Yeah. But I found that, you know, people do.
It's a bit of a conservative radio station.
No,
you
I don't
that.
Think it's conservative. I think people feel threatened by things they don't know or are uncomfortable with or would rather pretend
a
don't exist.
A black woman
and a black
with
woman
an opinion.
With a big voice and an opinion who won't back down is
dangerous.
A scary thing to a white man who's not used to it,
I
to be
scared
honest.
Of you.
Amen.
You owe me a cup of coffee.
I love you. So I spent a lot of time there, but I think they liked it because a lot of times they'd be laughing. They'd listen back and they'd be...
Exactly. That's good.
So I'm finding it...
I mean, you saw the Constitutional Court with Justin Nurse's T-shirts where they went all the way to the top and said the judgment was South African breweries need to get a sense of humour.
Absolutely.
Closed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Done.
Thanks.
That's Constitutional Court. Yeah. So it went through all the courts. Hmm. They won their case. Yeah. So copyright they would have won, slander where they won, and then the Constitutional Court said, guys, you need to get a sense of humour.
Yeah. Mm. But you know, I think this country, and you guys will know, because you have your finger in the pot, it must be so difficult because there's so many
things that can go wrong.
So many little layers of humour.
Yes.
Because there's 11 cultures and so many languages and everyone laughs at their own little thing, right?
Yeah.
It must be a very intricate, difficult
thing.
This
is the easiest audience in the world. I'm sorry. You know why? South Africans know everything about everyone, yet everyone else knows nothing about us. And that's what
I
find
difficult
every time I go
Canada?
Overseas. That's what I realized in Canada. I was like, man, South Africans, we also need to pat ourselves on the back. We are worldly. We know fucking everything.
And how did that come across in your set? Did you have to change your set? Did you go
to
large? Balls
I had to,
wall?
And I was worried because I said this to the other comics I was with because they've done North America.
Oh.
They know the sensibility of.
So this
audience.
Was recently, eh?
This was recently.
You still
this
got jet
like,
lag?
Yeah, bruh. And I was scared. I nearly
did you buy that cardigan
down.
In Canada?
To be honest, no. This was Australia.
Dananda.
You know what I hated is I've never performed to that audience. So I honestly nearly turned this gig down.
At a comedy fest, that audience is mixed, hey? They're not North American.
I know, but it's still an hour away from New York.
Yes.
Most of the comics who are there are from North America. So that sensitivity.
Who was on your how does your show work with
So it was
that.
Just specials. So it was everybody
How
doing
many
their
minutes
half
do you
hour.
Have to do half hour?
Everybody was doing their half hour so you could do a little bit more so that they can edit out whatever didn't work. And I was pooping myself, right? I gave myself an ulcer.
An
I was
That's
so
huge.
Stressed out, I gave
no, but
myself
also in
an
a
ulcer.
Gig that you've never been into and with producers
and
cameras are on. Really?
When you're leaving a country
Perform.
Where you know there are comics who do this every week, this is their vibe.
Huh.
Comedy has opened so many doors for me that give me the opportunity to do everything except comedy. So I went there not feeling like I'm fighting fit. So on that level, a part of me was going, you should not have taken this.
Were you listening to the voice in your head or did someone say that to you? So are you sure you're ready?
It was the voice in my head going,
That's what
there's
kills
no
you,
way
man.
You can do this. And there was one voice that did say something that nearly killed my spirit, but I'm ready to start cack. So
in your head?
It. No.
An actual human.
Human who
Fuck.
Said something that nearly broke me.
No,
like
there
the
are
yeah,
there'll be comedians who will break you down when you've got... We are
And this
crabs
happened
in a
literally
bucket.
The night before I was recording. That this person...
Shit.
And I literally had to go, yeah... That's them. You need to get your act together because you said you can do this. Fucking do it because you earned your space.
Who else was doing one special?
So Gola was there, Loisa Gola. And Loisa performs all over the world
so
the whole year
the
round.
So you watched the
Riyad
others as well,
Musa,
eh?
Yeah, I had to.
So that's how
you
do it on
remember,
different
Dave,
nights.
Dave, I always say, I create my, because people are always like, as a female comedian, how do you think he made it this far, hi? And I'm like, well, because I keep forgetting I'm a female comedian. I watch the comedians so good, I'm like, I need to be that or top that.
Regardless.
So I had to watch them. I watched Riyad, I watched Luis Ogola, I watched Madinga, I watched some international acts as well. Because I was like, bitch, you're not going out there to be this great female South African comedian. I was like, I'm getting there to be like, I'm a Netflix special performing kind of comedian.
And what does that Netflix special do? It goes on and it starts being paid for. You want to watch it on Netflix, you're going to pay for it.
And I did something that's completely mental. I did a couple of gags that I made up there.
Yes.
But you must understand, my stress is at this high now.
Did you still, like Jonathan was saying, bring it from your perspective?
Yes. Because I was like, I can't pretend this is not my first time in Montreal. Oh, they need to know it's my first time in freaking Montreal. So I put that in my special. And I remember being one, they were like, yo, you are gambling. You're doing what? New gags. Then I did a 7-minute show with a lineup of American comics.
One of those gala shows where you
get invited. The gala. Ooh, the gala ones are too stiff. I did a nice club one. And it killed. And when I walked off, I was like, yeah, so what do you think of the new set? They were like, oh, that was new? I was like, yeah, it was.
But that's something that those comics don't understand, that we sometimes do, we'll do 2 gigs a night. Like, I'll go to Giovanni's there and I'll end up at the box or something, where we're not scared to try new because we just know it's going to work.
Yeah.
Because also the audiences are so desperate for the new. They say, yeah, I saw your gig last week. What are you doing this week? Mm. Like, jeepers. A band sings the same songs when they come and tour.
Yeah.
Why am I expected to do? I like my set. I like I love the way my joke works. I love the thread.
There's so many people that I think that we do new new gags every time we get to a gig.
Mm.
Like there's somebody that's understand
that working
like,
your set.
You can do the same jokes you did the last time I saw you. I'm like, yeah, probably.
You know what it is? It's flower arranging.
Yeah.
I've worked it out. It's flower arranging. The beautiful flowers you see in the vase have had a massive bush like this that we've trimmed down to look like that.
Yeah.
And the only way you do that is in the club. Mm. Get down to not. How can you add more?
I
but
miss
once you've
clubs,
taken everything away.
I miss clubs.
Do you find you're not getting invited to clubs because the guys are scared that you're going to charge R1 million?
No. You know what? People do call me for gigs, and if I'm available, I'll do it. Yeah, but I'm trying to trim down because the big thing that Montreal did for me was remind me how much I love comedy and reminded me that I'm making my money now. I need to back down and start doing the thing I love. And that's comedy. I really had the time of my life. Cause
so when is that special available?
I did
two one-man
shows in Australia before that.
You did your own, full hour?
Yeah, my full hour in Australia.
Which one? Where? Perth?
In Perth and in Sydney.
Well done.
So it made me realize...
Lots of South Africans in the audience? Or not?
Surprisingly. Oh. The second one, not. The first one, yeah.
Perth would have been a South African.
That was Perth. Perth Fontaine.
Perth Fontaine.
And
you know how desperate they were for it was there. It was Kurt, Rob van Vuuren, and myself. They just wanted to hear us say lekker, doos,
chutney.
Blikkies.
Chutney.
But because I'd done a few
well, close to home.
I'd done a few gigs that didn't have Lucky's South Africans.
Chutney
Puss. Yeah. I'd done a few gigs that didn't have
and
South
you can make
Africans.
It out of Lego.
And those people came to my one-man shows because I'd done stuff for UNAID and I've done some festival.
Did you ever think
lineups.
These things, you know, we talked about Women's Day yesterday about telling young females, 13, 14 years old, there's big things ahead of you. You would have not known of these things. Am I right? Like when I met you, say 12 years ago in Cape Town, doing the warehouse. No, you didn't do the warehouse. You did some of the gigs in Cape Town.
Yeah.
Would you ever thought you're sitting on a plane off to Sydney and Perth doing a one-man show? Or was it in your mind?
Honestly,
all the time?
It was.
Was it?
You knew. You know what the thing is, man? I've never waited for permission. And my favorite thing is when people say I can't do it. I'm like, oh, thank you.
And it proved you wrong.
I was waiting.
What did Luis Mendinga say? He had a photograph looking out of his hotel room over the sort of backside of New York. So it's looking from Harlem up to New York like that or something. And he said, I just always knew this picture was in my head.
Yeah.
Never, ever doubted it. And he just said to the comedians and to people, he's like, stop worrying. That's whatever you saw in your head, it's going to happen.
Yeah. And it has for me, for the most part. And that's a big thing for women. It's we get it, women's lib, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing?
Oh.
I can't sit here and bitch and moan about how Dave Levinson doesn't put women on his lineup and, oh, you don't see enough women on TV and, oh, I don't get paid as much
as
Dave.
I always have women in my lineup.
When I charge for something, I'm like, this is my worth. I don't care about anatomy. This is my worth.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it or walk away. And if you want to do stuff, get the fuck up and do it.
And your people that are around you sense that as well. Like things are going to get done when you arrive.
Yeah, they're like, she's going to do it. Look, we can try and stop her, but that's a futile exercise. Let her do what she needs to do.
That useless piece of skin at the end of your show, what's it called? Glenn Biederman Pam. What does he do?
He is entertaining. You know what's funny about
that's
Glenn?
Horrible.
No,
is that
tell me.
He says no.
Why are you this guy?
Yeah, I just fell at him. Glenn and I, we have a love. We do this. We do this all the time.
Look,
we roast each other on the WhatsApps and the thing.
Yes. But you know, you were an option as well. For the barman.
No, for Glenn.
No, for the barman.
An option for Glenn.
I'm always an option for Glenn.
Yeah, he doesn't mean to be funny, so he comes across funny when he's trying not to be
trying
funny.
Not to be.
And then
so you force it out of him. Do you kind of direct the show from your
No,
stand?
I need Glenn to be himself, and that's what makes him funny.
Angel was doing it last night.
Yes, Angel did it, and she was brilliant. She's so sharp, that girl. I've always loved that about her.
So I found that I want Angel to do more of that than to be pushing the stand-up comedy side of it, because that's when she was in a natural state. Mm. In that
and she
thing.
Was hilarious.
So those opportunities aren't there. In America, you have a guy going, what do you do? Oh, I just write on a sitcom. In South Africa, we've got to be doing radio podcasts. Tomorrow night, you've got to be doing comedy, stand-up comedy there. When you go overseas, they're like, you have all those things? Like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to survive?
Yeah, but the industry is shifting, hey? Because while I was in Montreal and I got to meet a lot of comics, I did find that there are writers on shows who are doing stand-up who are also now getting into online offerings.
Wait. Say it again.
The industry is shifting.
Yes.
So even in the US, they're finding that they need to also learn to be flexible now. Because I think money
your portfolio.
Isn't... Yeah, because I think money is being thrown into bite-sized
things. Have a guy that's... you did comedy and then he purely does writing. And I said to him, is that all you do? He goes, oh, I write his meetings, I send my check, I write.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Vittorio writes... He's at Real Gabosa.
Mm-hmm.
But he also writes for corporates as well. Plus, he does his stand-up.
Mm.
And he just keeps... Iron's in the fire.
Yeah.
I think I don't do as much stuff anymore. I just do my show. I do stand up. I write my column.
I've got to get
I'm a columnist. Columnist.
For who? For where?
Columnist.
Yeah, just write it. Don't have to say it.
Columnist.
Not even going to try.
Columnist.
Is there a committee?
I've been writing for INL since over a year now, hey? Since last year, July.
INL?
Ryan,
what is it? Tumi's going to tell us right now, Dave. It's happening. It's happening right now.
What an answer. What an answer.
Sorry, that's funny.
I am International News Limited.
It's independent. Independent
news online.
Yeah.
IOL.
IOL.
Okay.
Anyway, it's in the Saturday Star.
Okay.
So in
and
that
it's one of those
in that,
columns
in that live
interesting
thingy?
Story that's happening now.
No, it's like an opinion piece.
You can write anything.
So I write opinion pieces every week, and I've been doing that since last year.
And that's a paycheck as well?
No, that's passion.
Love it.
See, this is the thing. Like, half the things, we do this. On Fridays, I'm excited to come and talk about comedy. Who are we going to talk to? What's happening?
Yeah.
I love this thing.
Yeah.
And there is no bucks involved.
Yeah.
No money involved. It's nice.
Sorry, Timmy.
It's fine. We get to
run a school as well. Had to sell one of the branches, which is sad.
Which one? What happened?
I had to sell one of my schools because, you know, we have three campus. Well, we had three campuses.
Who's we?
So we had to sell one.
What? Who's we?
Me and my family.
Oh, you have it. And you had to be too because times are tight.
Yeah.
Did someone buy it or did you close
it
down?
But also that place is oversaturated with schools, like urban.
Is it?
Yeah.
Gee, so you're proper. We need to delve more.
Yeah.
So she wasn't joking when she said she'll buy you a whole Seattle.
Yeah.
Franchise.
Yeah, do me look.
It's an NPO though. So it's not really
that means that they're
still,
non-profit though. Which means you can make a profit. You just
You just don't need to tell anybody.
Yeah, you just don't get taxed like
it's like yeah.
You know, I have to say that just to chip in, I could never. You know, there's free projects. There's these things
where they need a director or a
passion
producer.
Project.
Yeah.
Shame for people who do passion and the bank manager. Don't see eye to eye.
No, look, I wrote this music for a corporate video.
But all I'm saying is, I take my hat off to you guys who do these things for passion because it shows that you have passion.
It's the other side.
Possibly got a natural passion in them to make people. I will make people laugh for free for many, many years if I could. And I still remember that feeling of just doing it at school.
Yeah.
You just said it at the right time. Everyone was quiet. The teacher said, "Now I'm not going to say this once more." And you're like, I bet you this is it. And you just do the timing and you're fucking
timing
king of the world.
Yeah.
That feeling, I'll do
and
it for
free. And getting kicked out of class.
I've got a gig coming up now where the proceeds of the gig are all going to this program that gets these young boys off the streets and gets them into these soccer academies. And usually what I do is I also sell my DVDs at the thing and then they give me my cash and I'm like, okay, take this. Throw
and
it
then
on
you
top
do it
of
as well.
Everything
okay.
else. That's all you need to do is to give me a tax certificate at the end, so that I can.
But those are legitimate things. Like I've got those things where the guy said we can't afford you. I said it's fine, charge me the fee, and I will do this as part of my Because I get that you have to contribute. If this is 100,000 rand for tax or something, yeah, that you can put towards charities. Yeah. I will do this one as that, but I need that section 18.
So
you
can 18. Get your break. Yeah,
so that I get my break, tax thing. So I'm also doing something for the country. Going, here's a school where these kids aren't going. Let's raise 50,000 rand in the auction. But it's part of...
Also, because I don't have time to be Angelina Jolie, bruh. I don't have time to be running around hugging kids.
Can't you adopt Eric?
I have three already.
Three Erics.
Which I've kept alive. I don't know how to keep a fourth one alive.
She doesn't want to adopt me.
No, I would, but you look like a lot of maintenance. Like, really? You and my firstborn, same WhatsApp group. No way.
No, but really.
Eric, tell us about your phone, your car recordings. Tell us about, is it legal to do what you're doing? Because you aren't having your eye on the road, eh?
I have no idea. Well, my eye's on the road 90% of the time. The parts 90%? That you see. The parts that you see are the 10% that I cut out.
Oh,
so
I see.
That it looks like I'm just interacting
with
the camera.
Can I say hello to Jude? Hey, Ryan, any gigs coming up?
Yeah, so that's me.
No, nothing actually.
Nothing.
Are you up for an award?
No. We gave him advice on this thing. Don't enter until you've got a thing. So the Young Comics always see that Comics Choice says, go in. And then we don't know who you are. So get your Young Comics bones and do a show and do a thing. And then next year when they go in, you come in on a sort of different level as a newcomer. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Because we think about in the newcomers, you're going to go into that whole section. And there are about 10 or 8, 9 nice newcomers that have done stuff. And you come in there, you're not going to be seen.
Yeah, you look a bit...
Yeah. So get some stuff. Now we know you're at Giovanni's. Now we know you're at the box. That was anything you got?
Advice, Uncle Dave.
What, coming up? Yeah, tonight at the Goliath Comedy Club and tomorrow at the Goliath Comedy Club.
Oh, can I come try a 5-minute set?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. I mean, I wouldn't mind you being there. You know.
Your surname's not Goliath.
Oh, so.
He's your son.
You know what I mean?
Jonathan, movies coming up, films, TV ads?
I've got some stuff coming up.
Didn't you work recently with Colin Moss?
I did a big, huge Emirates ad. Yeah, very
did he recognize you?
Yes, he knows me.
Really?
Yeah, everyone.
Jonathan.
Hi. I like that. Everyone.
But you know what I'm really excited about is I'm starting to write some scripts, putting some stuff together, and we'll see what happens next year.
Tumi can produce it for you. She can just sell one of your schools.
I have not produced.
But we got to get Jonathan back. We didn't even get to unpack what we wanted to.
No, of course he comes back, man. The fact that you've got these two fun, wonderful people on the show is actually it's
I'd
a
love
joy.
To come
and
back.
The hour goes too quickly.
To
me, you're going to come
Thanks
back.
Thanks for having me.
You're doing too much, babe. I can't. You need your own to unpack what you actually on your road to. We need 4 or 5 hours. But I think people will listen to this one. This was lekker.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes. Yeah.
So 20th of August, please. What are you doing? It's an announcement.
It's an announcement.
And then it's another one on the 3rd of September.
It's just announcements.
Oh, yeah, I want announcements.
Nothing.
Fuck. When's my time?
Is that for something big, something happening?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We'll end off on that. That's fantastic.
Trying to be modest about it. It's going to be badass, everyone.
20th of August, tune into some sort of airwaves, the newspapers.
20th of August will be on your newsstands.
Yes.
And
are you doing a Vogue magazine like Beyonce?
And then on the 3rd of September.
Yeah.
It's that's
3rd of September. You're doing an
3rd of September is huge.
And Farmers Weekly.
Did you get the land
with an Nguni cow? Oh honey, I've got land. I'm so worried
about
this
shit.
Land. Okay. I'm actually stressed. I'm like, please don't take my land. I don't know whose land they're taking. I'm stressed.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, Eric, you want to say goodbye? My name is Dave Levinson. This has been the Just Now Comedy Podcast on Cliff Central at 9 o'clock every Friday live. Good night. Thank you very much, Jonathan Peterson. Say goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers. I'm Ryan. Bye.
Say goodbye, Eric Jansen. And like you know, we will see you again. Just now.
This is CliffCentral.com.